Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. Again. Okay, so I don't know what that was about, but we're going to take the rest of our time to get into our topic and really try to explore spirituality and marriage. As I was saying before, it was rushing me off the air. All of our shows are spirit-led, so we never know where spirit is going to lead us. We're just following instructions, right? So as I was going through and preparing and getting the show together, I was sitting with my youngest son, Talib, who is 16, and I said, Talib, what are we going to talk about? You know, what are we going to talk about on a radio program? And he says, straight face, marriage. What, dude? Yeah, marriage. You got to talk about marriage. And I'm just looking at him. I'm like, of all the topics in the world, you pick marriage? The answer is yes. So that's the answer. Spirit uses even the smallest of us to get their point across. So we got to talk about marriage. Marriage is, in my opinion, I used to say my small opinion, but this is not a small opinion. In my opinion, marriage is the most important thing in the universe. In my opinion, marriage can solve all of our community troubles. Two people working together for the greater good. Because once you start getting two people to work together for a greater good, you can get three. Once you get a household moving in one direction, it can influence a community. And one community can influence the rest of the world. So I believe marriage is that cell. You know, marriage is like that egg that multiplies and multiplies and multiplies, okay? Marriage is that important. It's sacred, okay? And the marriage that I'm speaking about is two people, okay? I can't even get into the polygamy thing. I'm not qualified to speak for polygamy. So I'm not going to. And I haven't done enough research and study and everything else like that. You know, my old-fashioned ideas are old-fashioned, and polygamy had its purpose when women didn't work and there were wars. We haven't been in any wars lately and women are working, so I don't see the need for it personally. So that's why I'm not speaking from that point of view. I'm speaking old-fashioned, one person, two person, trying to make it work. And the reason why I know that we really have to work on this marriage thing is we don't have enough people doing it. You know, I understand that there's some risk involved with marriage, and we're going to have to talk about that. There's some ideas and concepts that are, seems like maybe even almost in conflict with each other. And we got to talk about that too. But, you know, I want to talk about spirituality in marriage. And this is going to help it'll plant some seeds in some places, okay? That's my goal, all right? That's always my goal. I want you to think about some things. I want you to take this conversation to someone and say, hey, Mama 7 said X, Y, and Z. What do you think? What do you feel? You know, have you heard this before? And so we got to talk about what this union is and its purpose for the union, okay? Because it's really almost a dying art. I think, you know, in certain communities, the marriage rate is 50%, and the divorce rate is 50%. And I'm like, wait a minute, those aren't good numbers. And then turn around, not only is the marriage rate so low and the divorce rate so high, the marriage rate is getting lower and lower and lower, which means there's fewer and fewer people taking the time to get married. Okay? This is a very sad and dangerous thing. Okay? So I'm going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about it from the context of spirituality. Mixed with a little religion in here. Okay? And I know you're like, everybody just gasped and clutched their pearls and everything, but you know, religiously speaking, we have books to follow in religion. And the books tell us, okay, you're supposed to get married. And there are reasons why. We can go over the reasons why. We can talk about how. We can talk about all that good stuff so that we can begin to understand how important it is, how wonderful it is to be married, okay? So, marriage is, you know, the union, the commitment to that two people make to be together in a committed relationship, okay? Now, granted, you did not hear me say anything about per the state, per, I think back in the day, you used to have to take a blood test with each other. No. I'm not talking about any state documents, okay? I'm talking about man, woman, and God. I'm talking about two people committed to live this life together, all right? And right now, this world will make you think that's not important. It's super important. This world will make you think, you know, trying to sit back and trying to be married is old-fashioned. You know, some people will have you think the ideas of commitment aren't even realistic. How about that? Well, you and a man to yourself, that's not even realistic. That's crazy. It's absolutely realistic. Okay? So I have to tell you about what happens spiritually with men and with women, with partners, okay? When you stand, they stand there before God, family, and friends, or let's say it's just God and one witness, you know? All kinds of traditions have different ways of going about it. The least amount of people I've heard about, I know the Muslims, they'll consider a marriage. God, the person who's marrying you, and one witness. You can only take that few people to commemorate this moment, right? But what all the marriages have in common is God. See, when we're in a relationship by ourselves, like this is my quote-unquote boyfriend, and that's my girlfriend, and we're trying to make this happen, person A, person B, right? What is the difference? I've even heard people say, because some people will exist as person A and person B, A and B together, B and A together, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's happy. You've been together years, 2 years, 3 years, 6 years, 8 years. Ridiculous. Anything more than two is ridiculous. So we're together and all this, spending all this time, and it's A and B, B and A, us two, right? But there's always a third party. Always. And when you get married, the third person is God. When you're not married, who do you think that third person is? When you get married, why is it important to, you're basically inviting God into your relationship. That's what marriage is. You're together. Two people together, they're committed. That's A and that's B. When you get married, you're bringing God in. Who do you think was in before God came in? Just these two people? I don't think so. So we have these two people. We have A, we have E, and then we get married, and then we bring God into the story. God makes everything better. This is why we make prayers after the program. This is why we pray at any and all a wonderful approach function. This is why, you know, we are a spiritual-based organization, because we know that God makes everything better. Because when we have two people and we sit here and we say we're bringing God in, how you talk to this man from this point on should be how you talk to a partner of God, because that's what it is. How he handles you, how he treats you, is how he treats God. So you're going to mistreat God's partner? You're going to mistreat one of God's children? You're going to mistreat? No, you're not. You see why we have to really get married? See, getting married brings parameters into our relationship. I know for me, being married is a all season pass. I wish one day we're going to do the video, and so you'll be able to see me with all my hand gestures. It's a pass, all pass, all pass. When you're married, that's man and woman, and everything can go, man and woman, all pass. Without that, I ain't doing nothing. I don't have to. I don't want to. Marriage is the sacred vow that you make with this person that you don't make with every person. Marriage is godly. Marriage is when you start lining up yourself under God's umbrella, okay? God has a master plan for you. He has seen your life in full. And being married is part of this life. So to stay in a place where marriage is either not an option it's not becoming an option, it's not becoming real, is to stay in an unhealthy place, and no one should stay in an unhealthy place. So we've got to get married, family. Okay? Time. And not a whole lot of time getting to know people. We have to do it, one, because God says so. And there are certain things we have to do in life where you just have to trust God in this. And I'm sure I just felt a whole bunch of chest get tight, okay? I just felt it. You have to trust God. You have to trust God that God would really want you to be married. I remember I had a girlfriend back in college, and her man were together for like 5 years, which at that time seemed like eternity. And I remember when she got married, and I remember asking her, you know, you two were together for so long, and then you just decided to get married. Was it different? And she said everything was different. It was absolutely different. And I remember asking why. Why was it different? Y'all are in the same house, sleeping in the same bed. I don't understand what made it different. And she was like, I had all my rights. I had all my rights as his wife. Not just the rights he wanted to give me as his girlfriend. Not the rights he wanted to give me as a roommate. I had all the rights given to me by God. And there's a whole lot more rights. A whole lot more I was settling for just because I was a girlfriend. I didn't want to ruffle too many feathers, blah, blah, blah. But I needed all of my rights. And at that point, I understood just a little bit more what she was talking about. You know, because there is such a thing as marriage, guess what, y'all? This is such a thing as divorce, too. So I'm not saying you got to stay with this person, make it work, you know, hot come hell and high water, and it's more hell than water. I'm not saying that. But that's the way God would want us. God wants us to be married. He wants us to be all in. See, if you're not married, you're not all in. If you haven't been willing to stand before God with this person, then you're not all in. And I will say these words out loud and on the radio. If you're not willing to marry this person, you really should not be sleeping with them. Sex and intimacy are things that married people share. And the reason for this is a reason. And the reason for this, I know I sound like I'm whispering, and I'm not, I'm trying not to whisper. But the reason for this is, as you are sharing intimacy with someone, you are creating bonds with this person, right? And you're like, okay, well, what's wrong with bonds? If you're not married to this person, why are you creating bonds with them? If this person is worth creating bonds with, they're worth marrying. If they're not worth marrying, then they're not worth creating bonds with. You see, unfortunately, we've become accustomed to intimacy with people. But we haven't gotten accustomed to having God in our life to such a degree that we bring everything before God, even our relationship. We've gotten to the point where, you know, we'll ask ancestors, oh, ancestors, what about this job? We'll ask ancestors, oh, ancestors, what about this house I want to move into? Ancestors, I need some more money. We'll do that. But we won't say, ancestors, I like this boy right here. And we won't listen to an ancestor say, whenever they say what they say, about this little boy right here. Okay? We have got to get to the point where we trust God so much that if God says no, it's no. We've got to get to the point where we trust God so much that if God says yes, that you go ahead and do it. Yep, go on and do it. You see what I'm saying? So spirituality in marriage is truly allowing God to be that determining factor in your relationship. And you, knowing the difference between hanging out, having a good time on a Friday night, and whether you are talking to someone who's worthy of entering your home, entering your temple, you know, if they're spiritually grounded and sound before you start absorbing some of their energy. You know, it's that kind of thing that we have to work on marriage. So we don't have to work on this. You know what I'm saying? So an average person dating, what you're dating with, three people at a time, maybe four, is just dating, just spending time, laughing, joking, and everything else like that. What happens when these relationships, these three or four dates are turning intimate and you're really stretching yourself thin on the bonding? You got bonds here, there, shoot. Some of them crisscross? No. Spiritually speaking, you are the most healthiest when you are with one person and both of y'all are working on being spiritually clean and grounded together. Okay? So it's not just marriage. You got to be married to the right person. You got to be married. Look, if you're introducing prayer to this person, unless they're a really quick study, I don't know. You got to get with someone who is close to your level. Okay? You got to get with someone who already has a relationship with God, because And this is important, save lives, okay? If you're with someone, even if it's not your same understanding of God, your same understanding, or we don't call God the same name, whatever, whatever. If you're with a man who knows God, there is a part of him that is submissive, that is humble, that is open, that'll be willing to talk, communicate, compromise, do whatever is necessary, because the God in him will talk to the God in you, and we now have a baseline understanding in which we're going to operate. Okay? But if you are talking to a man or a woman who doesn't have a baseline of God already, where are y'all going to have that deep connection on? Because at that point, your connection is going to be based off of something very civil, something that can look diminished. I hate to tell you that. Intimacy, I don't care how good you may think that intimacy is. It will diminish, okay? Money is changing so quickly. I went to grab subs for dinner, and it cost me almost twice as much for half the food. I'm like, what the hell? So, no, it can't be any of those things. You have to have a baseline that connects your God to his God. You have to have a mutual respect for one another in a godly manner. And once that has been accomplished, once that God connection is there, then I promise you marriage is imminent. And it's imminent because his God is not going to want you to be without protection. Your God is not going to want you to be without care and concern. The God in you is going to automatically recognize that you have needs of this other person, and those needs are going to be fulfilled. This is why you have to be married. If not, women take a risk of being physically taken advantage of, and men run the risk of being financially taken advantage of. To possibly physically think. You see what I'm saying? Marriage helps to bring about some guarantee that this person is going to be committed to you, faithful to you, a good person in the name of God, a good person in the name of God. So these are all the things that we have to consider when it comes to marriage. You know, I remember having a disagreement with a brother. He was telling me, oh, a man who finds a woman finds a good thing. A man who finds a good woman finds a good thing, blah, 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 blah. I said, no, brother, you misunderstood. You misread. He said, a man who finds a virtuous wife finds a good thing. It's a wife, not a woman. There's virtuous women everywhere. But it's the wife. And I was like, I said, and the reason why that's so important is because once a woman comes your wife, her commitment to you is sound and is her priority. Until she's the wife, she don't have a commitment to you. She does what she does out because she wants to be nice. She could have a very giving nature. I mean, we have some fantastic people out here, male and female, that would just give you anything and everything. But without that marriage, without making it official, you know, really they're operating out of the goodness of their heart, and their heart should be good. But God gives us guarantees in a marriage. Those things become, they go from being a desire to being obligations. And they're wonderful obligations, okay? You know, being married is some work. I've been married once. I've tried to be married twice. It's some work, family. But all the work that you put in, the rewards are incredible, okay? There are rewards for finding someone that will stand with you side by side in front of the side of God, friends, and family. There's something very, very powerful and very brave about that person. If you ever get the opportunity, you're with someone, don't hesitate to get married. Especially if you're doing married type stuff. Get married. Get all your rewards. Get all the vodka, the blessing. Get all of it. Because when you don't, what's the opposite of blessing? See, God is so beautiful and wonderful. God always tells us the good, the positive. But I always have to kind of keep out the corner of my eye, okay, if we get blessings for being in, what do we get when we're not in? You know, sometimes we get so focused on reading what the Word gives us that we focus only on what the Word gives us. But I'm going to ask the other question, what do we get when we're not doing what God says? What happens when we're with someone and we have no intentions of getting married? We have no intentions going to, and we just still playing house. That's not positive. You're not going to get blessed for that. You might even get your booty pop for it. And a spiritual booty pop is nowhere near as cute as it sounds on a 2-year-old wearing a diaper. It ain't nowhere near that, okay? So we want to make sure. And that's part of spiritual maturity. That's part of, you know, all of those things that we're supposed to be working towards, you know, not just setting a good example, not just living a righteous life, not just those things, but all of those things combined with the ultimate because God said so. Sometimes it may seem easier to have your Friday night special and don't worry about it Saturday night and go to church on Sunday and we all good. We keeping it spinning. No, you're not. No, you're not. We're supposed to be married. God has created someone for everyone. And, you know, we have the task of finding our someone. And it can be a fun task. It can be fun. We can enjoy ourselves as we're learning each other, as we're learning the principles. We can do that. But we have to remember, you know, the high-level picture of this. This is about God, okay? Don't let me do all the talking because you know this is one of those topics that I'm extremely passionate about. I'm extremely passionate. I want all of us to be married, and I want the men to work with the men to be strong men. I want the women to continue working with the women to be strong women. I want us to work together so that we can have beautiful, healthy babies. And, you know, this is part of what I pray about. I pray about this. It's that important, okay? So, but don't let me do all the conversating. You know, if there's something you want to add about the power of marriage, please do. You know, this is for those that have been married. These are those that are married. These are those that want to be married. You know, we got to be able to have more open conversations about this because what happens is things get hush-hushed. You're just going to slide up under the rug or start listening to this world, the dunya. We start listening to the world, and we allow the world to dictate what our values are. We can't do that. We're spiritual people. And not just any kind of spiritual people. We are the spiritual leaders. We are the ones that set up precedents for others. So we have to make sure that the things that we're doing are righteous, knowing that we have people looking at us, knowing we have people waiting to follow our lead. We have to make sure that we're leading the right way, okay? So let's think about it. Let's talk about it. Let's, you know, put some things in place. You know, ask the questions you want to ask. All you have to do is press one. That's going to let the switchboard know, hey, I want to add to the conversation, whatever it is. You know, let's have these open conversations. And trust me, this is not a conversation that I would pick, not in a million years, okay? Not, I don't think in the 3 years that we've been doing programs that marriage, I think we've done one relationship show, and that was painful. And I think we've had one intimacy show. That was painful. And so, this is not my comfort zone, but it's something I'm very passionate about, something I know, I trust, I believe, and I know it's going to help benefit us once we get it together, okay? So let's get together. Let's ask questions. I have a brave soul on the line that would like to speak. I'm very excited. Let's have the questions and get the information out, okay? All right. Greetings over to the program.
Yeah, hi. I don't know how brave I am. I guess we'll see.
Okay. How are you doing, dear?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. How are you?
Talk to us about marriage.
Good. Talk to you about what, I'm sorry?
About marriage.
Well, yeah. Certainly marriage, but can we talk about a step leading up to marriage? Because one just doesn't, unless it's an arranged marriage, they don't just jump into marriage. So can we do like a stair step into marriage?
Absolutely. Stair step into marriage would be awesome.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just, there's a delay apparently for some crazy reason. But go ahead.
So the stair step into marriage is very important because marriage is such a big step. It is big for men and it's big for women. The problem is people get comfortable on the step. You know, they'll take one step and they're so comfortable they want to stay there, you know. Or they'll take one step and decide, you know, I like you, you like me, let's go ahead and jump straight over to the marriage part. And then that's not healthy either. So we have to get to the point where we can take some steps without getting stuck and without having unhealthy expectations. You have to get to the point where it's a real possibility. There are some people out there, though, that are interacting with people with no intentions of marriage. And I think that's kind of like the danger of dating right now.
Right, right. Well, what I think, you know, speaking as a man and just speaking based on observation, which is sort of a scientific method, and that is I just think women need to be more participatory and more intentional with respect to dating and more fair-minded. I would say becoming friends as opposed to trying to get a free meal, and there's been a lot of you know, you laugh, but a lot of women, they demand that a guy take them out to a five-star restaurant or this sort of thing. There's no commitment on their part, but they want to put this burden on guys. And a lot of guys are just turning away from that. A lot of guys are not as many are as articulate and some more. But a lot of guys are intimidated by women and what women want. And rather than have the discussion, they just kind of bow out, you know? So what's happening is that I think women are going to have to be more friendly, a little bit more feminine, talk to guys, you know, make it known that you want to have a conversation with a guy. There was a particular woman not long ago, we were having this discussion, and I said to her that she was entitled. And she says, no, I'm not. I said, oh, yes, you are. And I said, okay, well, what about a coffee date? And then she, I mean, you could hear her exiting. She ran away. Because, see, that proved that she was entitled. She wants a full meal, and she wants a lot of other perks, but I'll just stop with the meal. But I would just say women are going to have to be more open, American women. They're going to have to come out of their equal with men. They have equal rights from a social standpoint. And so they're going to have to exercise some of those rights in the minimum area of just being friendly with men. And a lot of women are not accustomed to that. They've never really heard that. And, of course, that's what's kind of creating a stalemate. What do you think?
I definitely believe we have a stalemate going on, definitely. I have sons, and one of them is of the dating age. And he often complains about the financial responsibility of trying to date and woo. And he often complains about some of the high slash unrealistic expectations that are there. And so what you're saying, I completely understand. I really, really do. As a mother,
yeah, and let me
son,
just throw this
I
in. See what happens with many women, they're on social media. Social media is not real. I mean, you've heard this term getting the bag, or I think they use the term leveling up. And a lot of these words, you know, I believe in etymology, I mean, studying the history of the words, and a lot of these words, you know, you have to ask for explanation. But let's just go with, I think I know what they mean when they say leveling up, or, well, I'm not totally sure. But let's just say getting the bag. They want to get the money. They see these lifestyles on social media, which most of them are fake. It's unreal. And just like your son is saying, I think he's expressing these unrealistic expectations of women. And so I just think women are going to have to be more normal. Now, what a lot of men are doing, and we can say fortunately or unfortunately, they're going to other countries. Men of all ethnicities are going to other countries for women who are better socialized toward family. And, you know, they have respect for the man. American women tend not to be very respectful of men. And it's a shame that they feel that way, because men build the society that they live in. But I think we have to talk about these things, and
absolutely,
we have to talk about them on an adult level.
Absolutely. And let me share with you what I had to share with my son. And I had to share with him, I said, son, okay, number one, these women with these expectations, where are they coming from? Where do these women come from? Because you have to find a woman. This is why the whole equally yoked thing comes in, you know. And so I've explained, you know, you coming up in a very spiritual household, having spiritual values, your spiritual values are not going to measure up against a very materialistic valued individual. And so you have to make sure that we're talking apples and apples, or at least fruit. You know what I'm saying at this point? The problem is that, right, he's in the world, and the world does not have the same values on culture, on religion, on spirituality, on righteousness, on those types of deep principles that are going to help get him to the next level and get him with someone going to be able to appreciate what he, you know, there's a lot of questions, you know, what do you bring to the table? Those are the types of things that he has to present on the table and then look for. So I said, you can't be out there flashing an empty wallet, you know, your college kid, you know, so you can't, you know, it's not about flashing and trying to compete on this lower level of materialism. It's about truly finding your table. Where do you fit in? And finding a table that has women that do have a reverence for God and appreciation and knowledge of their ancestors and their culture. And then that's the table you belong at. I think a lot of times people get disappointed because they're just sitting at the wrong table. You know, they're with the wrong types of people, and it can be confusing and upsetting, you know?
Let me comment on that, because that's a very important point I think you've touched upon. And see, this is why generally in most cultures, everybody is involved in linking young men and women up, because there are a lot of impediments. And in America today, there are more impediments than ever. But let me just, and you mentioned spirituality. Let me just clarify. Mm-hmm. Are you mentioning Christianity, like the Bible? Is that sort of a guide for you, or am I off base there?
No, you're not off base. But spirituality is broader than the Bible. But we do, we understand the Bible. But spirituality is having that relationship with God and with the essence, with spirit. And so, and that comes in many forms and across all of the books, all of the holy books. And it's so important that we're sitting at our right tables, you know what I'm saying? And so that way we can have that appreciation for each other.
I got it. Let me, with that understanding, let me just go forward with what I was going to say. Okay, the culture has to be more interested in relationships, because a lot of times your son, obviously he's not ubiquitous or omnipresent, so he's not everywhere at once. And in order for two people to connect, and this is just practical, they have to meet at the same place at the same time for the same reason. If we miss each other by 2 minutes, guess what? We've missed each other, a compatible mate or a potentially compatible mate. Therefore, you know, in the scriptures, the Judeo-Christian scriptures, it gives 3 days, three methods by which a man meets a woman. And it talks about he who finds a wife finds a good thing, but mm-hmm. that's explained, I think, in these three examples. Number one, in the Garden of Eden, God introduced Adam and Eve, so that was like you had a referral. God put them together. And I think if men and women can come together, if they have just a basic level of maturity, they can talk things through and find some level of compatibility. The other example is with Abraham's servant, Eliezer, seeking a wife for his son Isaac, and he went a long ways back to his family members to secure a wife. So there you have a third party intervention. That wasn't Isaac going back there. That was Abraham's servant on behalf of him going back there to find a wife. And of course, the third example would be the example of Ruth with Boaz, which is the direct approach. And that's where Ruth was apprised by her mother-in-law, Naomi, that how to get a man. Ruth was a great woman, smart, but she had a low, quote-unquote, male IQ. She didn't know how to get a man. She was a great woman, but none of her experiences taught her how to get a man. So Naomi had to chime in and tell her really how to get Boaz, and it was the direct approach. So I think that, you and other people who are concerned about your son, don't just let him be out there hanging. You guys see girls, and you can – no, really, you're laughing, but I think you really see the point. You see young women that your son would – I'm sorry, go ahead. What?
I said I totally do. And I'm laughing in agreement with you, because we do this all the time, you know, because we do, we know him better, probably better than he knows himself. And so it's like, it would make so much sense. Hey, here's a lovely young lady. Talk to her.
Exactly, exactly. And you would be better able, look, When someone approaches someone, there's a huge area of vulnerability. Now, I've spoken to men about this, and I've called some of them you know, in a friendly way, but liars to their face, because they are lying. Because men mm-hmm. who say that rejection doesn't bother them, either they're unfit for a relationship, or they're just telling a bald-faced lie to kind of, you know, protect their ego. Rejection is something no one likes, period. Mm-hmm. So you guys, like you said, you made a wonderful point. You know your son and his particular characteristics probably better than he knows himself. So therefore, you would be the better selector of a young lady. You could see her, mm-hmm. notice specific things about her. Oh, she would be nice. Then you approach her. You do the approaching and bring them together. In fact, I think that's one of the better ways to meet someone is vis-a-vis the third party. Yeah, and not only you, but your other, people who care about him, his aunts, his cousins, his sister.
And there's lots of them. Absolutely.
Yeah, there are lots of opportunities. But see, what we do is just throw people to the wolves. We just kind of throw relatives to the wolves. Leave them out there on this lonely, sometimes very difficult quest. Now, let me just say this. Some men, who I consider them very uncouth, will come up and try to clown other men to say, well, that's a weakness. You can't talk to a woman. So we can just dismiss that as immature and foolishness and go with what we know has the potential to work better. So I would just say, you know, if your son needs a mate, you need to get busy. You and those who care about him. Sure, he needs to participate, but you all need to help him out. If you get that attitude, I think things will be a lot better. But, you know, this is something we're going to have to work on. We're very broken in the area of male-female meetings, connecting. Mm-hmm. I have even said, let me just throw this at you, and then I would like to hear your feedback. I've even said to some pastors, you know, open your church up. It sits fallow most of the week. Open your church kitchen and allow young people, you know how expensive every darn thing is today, and allow them to prepare a meal. That does a whole bunch of good things. It allows them to see how well they can work together. And if they're preparing a meal, obviously they're doing something very fantastic, and it gives them a chance to really see each other in a light that they possibly would not otherwise. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. I'm all in for that. Now, tell me your name.
Excuse me? I'm Solution. I just go by the handle Solution. But let me just say this, and also, see, because I know the church is about money, so have them pay a small fee. They're going to use a little electricity and a little water. So, you know, just have them, I don't know, maybe $10, $15, whatever. And if you get four or five people that are willing to do that on any given day throughout the week, I mean, and the church is supposed to be there to help people.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a good use of church facilities.
Absolutely. And, Solution, I want to thank you so much for chiming in on that. Not only did you propose some great ideas, some really great ideas, I would love to see some of that in action. We do this every Wednesday night. We start at 8, we end at 8:30. And so we end at 9:30. And so I suggest offer you to come back. We always have these really deep conversations. How can we use spirituality to help us with some of our common day challenges? And right now, marriage and relating in America is challenging. It is so challenging. And so, and I think I love the references of how we've been shown how relationships in those introductions are done historically in our scripture books. We need more of that. We need more of that good, positive energy. We need more of those great ideas. We need more of that so that we can bring about positive changes. I heard a couple of things. I told everybody I do the programs with pen and paper. and I heard some things that I'm like, okay, let me spend some time. How am I applying that? How am I applying that? You know, am I looking for small opportunities to make small connections? And again, I tell you, you know, for all the mama elephants out there, knowing we got these baby elephants looking at us, are we setting this up properly for them? Are we giving them good advice? Are we showing them proper courting techniques? You know, even the introduction can be difficult on both sides. I appreciate having that male energy come in there and say, hey, it's not easy for you women folk. It's not easy for us men either. So it was a wonderful show. I love the balance. I love the back and forth. I hope Solutions takes the time to give us a call back. We do this, like I said, every Wednesday, and we get that dialogue going. Well, we end our programs, and I hate we got to end this program. It was so good. Phone lines full. Lots of good people wanting to comment. And I'm going to tell you, you got to get faster on that one button. You know, we're going to have these conversations, and these are conversations that I definitely believe we're going to have to take a part two in because it's so needed. We got to work on these relationships. We have to work. We spend a lot of time, energy, money investing in this wheel called relationships, and it's almost becoming like a Russian roulette. You know, we're not getting anywhere. So let's think about that and how we can spend some time getting and having these real encounters with one another, okay? Each program, we end with prayer. Prayer makes everything better. Prayer brings about the healing. Prayer brings about the knowledge, the strength. Prayer helps to put us in the right mindset so that we can build with each other. So we can lay the foundation for those that are going to be coming behind us. We add prayer in the end. Don't let this be the last prayer you hear until next week. Do some research, okay? At the first Sunday of each month, Sister Faith is going to be taking us through her faith walk. And we're going to be learning our prayers. And we're not just going to be learning the words so they could sit in our mouth, okay? We're going to be learning the meaning, learning why, learning the how. We're going to be learning our prayers. And so the prayer that's coming up is 23rd Psalm. So that means between now and the first Sunday, and don't let this sneak up on you, family, because it's going to be coming around. I looked at the calendar, I said, oh, my God. We're halfway through the month. That means we're almost halfway through, almost 2022. Yeah, so let's go ahead and get this worked on, okay? So I'm going to, you know, me and Talib have already started, for me, review. For him, a study, we gotta work on this. You know, we're committed. He's committed to learning a new prayer every month along with his Islamic study. So by the end of 2022, he will be well-versed and have a plethora of ways to contact God and contact his guardian angels to watch over him and assist him in his life. And I will feel good as a parent. I've done my job. My job is to equip him for life, okay? Father, Mother, God, I come before you humbly with the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May all those be kept in good health and good spirits.